fantastic.
Our country is stepping forward to be the most wonderful country you could possibly live in.
The Premier of Alberta and his Conservative government are trying to find ways around this.
I understand the importance and the significance internationally.
They know my name, and the Prime Minister shook my hand, which is all totally surreal.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Equality bills ring wedding bells in Canada and Spain, pride parades from Athens to Austin, but violence mars Jerusalem's day, and a mummy unwrapped reveals secret sapphic verses. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 2, 2005. The parliaments of both Spain and Canada this week gave their final approvals to bills to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. That will double the number of nations where gay and lesbian couples can marry, as Spain and Canada follow the Netherlands and Belgium. The socialist government's bill was signed by King Juan Carlos and officially published soon after the House of Deputies' 56% favorable vote. It was the second vote of approval by that House necessary to override the Spanish Senate's unexpected defeat of the measure last week. Spain's law declares simply, marriage will have the same requirements and results when the two people entering into the contract are of the same sex or different sexes. It grants full adoption rights to same-gender couples, one of the most controversial points for the law's opponents. The Netherlands only added equal adoption rights to its gay and lesbian marriages later with separate legislation, and Belgium's government is currently working on that. But in a nod to dissenters, Spain's law also allows public officials to refuse to perform marriages for gays and lesbians, although they must appoint another official to do so.
The conservative Catholic group Spanish Family Forum, which organized last week's massive march through Madrid in opposition to the marriage bill, before the vote this week, presented the legislature with a petition adding 600,000 more names to the 500,000 on its previous petition to the government. That group has promised both more rallies and a legal challenge. Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero told the deputies of the Move to Marriage Equality, "We have not been the first, but I am sure that we will not be the last. After us, there will be many more countries motivated by two unstoppable forces, liberty and equality." He went on to say of gays and lesbians, "It is true that they are only a minority, but their triumph is a triumph for everybody. Their victory makes us all better people. It makes our society better."
The Canadian Parliament's 54% vote for its government's Civil Marriage Act came a day before Spain's, but Canada's Senate has yet to take up the bill. The bill is expected to become law before the end of July. Of course, more than 3,000 gay and lesbian couples have already married in Canada, thanks to provincial court rulings beginning in Ontario 2 years ago. Acknowledging that, Liberal Party Prime Minister Paul Martin urged the Parliament to pass the measure, saying, "For most Canadians in most parts of our country, same-sex marriage is already the law of the land. Thus, the issue is not whether rights are to be granted. The issue is whether rights that have been granted are to be taken away." But the bill's opponents included more than two dozen MPs from his own party, including one who resigned a cabinet position in order to vote against the measure. Another cabinet member who opposed the bill chose to be absent from the vote.
The opposition Conservative Party had worked hard to stall the bill. To reach this week's vote, the minority Liberal government had to strike deals with the smaller Bloc Québécois and New Democratic Party, first to extend the parliament's session for the first time in 17 years, and then to limit debate on the marriage bill. Tory leader Stephen Harper is determined to make marriage equality a centerpiece in campaigning for the next national elections, which are expected next year, and promises a future parliament will revisit the issue. Meanwhile, that Tory stronghold Alberta is seriously considering mounting a legal challenge to the Civil Marriage Act, even though Provincial Justice Minister Ron Stevens admits it will be a losing cause.
The Vatican has actively opposed legal recognition of same-gender couples around the world. Its newspaper, L'Osservatore Romano, quickly denounced the Canadian and Spanish moves as violent and direct attacks against the family.
But lesbi-gay activists around the world celebrated, and the parties were already scheduled. The Pride season peaked this week with the anniversary of the 1969 revolt against a then-routine police raid on a New York City bar, the Stonewall Inn on Christopher Street. That's generally recognized as the beginning of the contemporary movement for equal treatment of lesbi-gays and transgenders. This year's observances consistently demanded marriage equality and parental rights, as well as equal treatment as individuals. They also denounced homophobia and mourned the community's losses to AIDS.
Canada's biggest Pride event, the 25th annual parade in Toronto, came this past weekend before the vote in Parliament. Police estimated a crowd of more than a million turned out to watch more than 300 units pass by, despite temperatures exceeding 100 degrees. Bill Blair became the city's first police chief ever to participate.
Spain's biggest Pride march was set for the weekend following the vote in Parliament, but Madrid was already decked with rainbow streamers, and the partying began almost immediately after.
Elsewhere in Europe, the Pride march in Paris attracted a crowd police estimated at about 300,000 spectators, while organizers believed that participants and observers totaled more than 700,000. Either way, it took 4 hours for only one-third of the parade to complete its route. Addressing the marchers, the city's openly gay mayor, Bertrand Delanoë, called for legislation of marriage equality.
Berlin's venerable Christopher Street Day parade featured some 60 floats and 25,000 marchers and drew a crowd of about 300,000. The city's openly gay mayor, Klaus Wowereit, called the event a show of strength for equality.
Athens saw its first Pride demonstration as 400 or 500 people marched on the Parliament building. At least one organizer came prepared with a mask to avoid TV coverage.
In the Netherlands, Nijmegen's Megan's Pink Saturday Love Parade was attended by 25,000 people.
Dublin's Gay Pride Parade featured a 240-foot-long rainbow flag and attracted nearly 10,000 spectators.
Lisbon's Pride marchers were counted in the dozens.
In Latin America, Mexico City's 27th Pride Parade filled 4 lanes of roadway for several blocks with thousands of marchers. Some wore black armbands to honor an activist slain last week.
Lesbi-gays also marched for Pride in San Salvador, El Salvador.
In Bolivia, one participant counted 200 Pride marchers with 10,000 spectators packing the streets in La Paz.
And Rio de Janeiro's Pride march drew a whopping crowd of 900,000.
In India, lesbi-gays and transgenders also marched about 200 strong for 5 kilometers in Calcutta. Their primary demand was repeal of the nation's sodomy law.
But there was violence in Jerusalem. First, a court had to force the city to allow the 4th Pride march there to take place at all when the mayor and city council had moved to block it. That ruling was entirely favorable to the march, with the judge requiring the city to allow street banners in advance, as it does for other marches, and ordering Jerusalem's mayor, Yuri Lupolyansky, to personally pay the court costs incurred by Pride organizers' Jerusalem Open House. Jerusalem's police chief, who actually has authority over permits for public events, had already agreed to the Pride march before the court decision and went on to deny a permit to a counter-demonstration to be held the same day. Some 2,000 Pride marchers still had to brave at least 200 and possibly 1,000 opponents who stood along the parade route. Some of those counter-demonstrators waved signs like, "Homosexuality is a sickness." Some threw excrement at marchers, and one threw a stink bomb as the march began. A dozen Jewish extremists were arrested for trying to block the street. One attacked with a knife, stabbing 3 marchers, one seriously. They were treated at a hospital but reported in stable condition. The attacker is in police custody.
Back in New York City, where it all began, organizers estimated more than 500,000 participants in the 36th annual march, with a crowd of 1 million watching, although police pegged the spectators at half that. All 5 mayoral candidates, including incumbent Republican Michael Bloomberg, were there, as was Democratic U.S. Senator Hillary Clinton.
More than 1 million people turned out for San Francisco's 35th annual Pride March. The city's marriage equality activist mayor, Gavin Newsom, was loudly cheered.
Other big U.S. Pride marches were held this week in Chicago, Illinois, with a crowd estimated at 500,000, and Austin, Texas, with a record crowd of over 200,000, as well as a rally at the state capitol in Michigan. But smaller cities saw Pride marches also, including Atlanta, Georgia, Honolulu, Hawaii, Portland, Oregon, Columbus, Ohio, and Conway, Arkansas.
And finally, this week's most remarkable Pride celebration was the first publication of a previously unknown love poem written by the first famous lesbian, Sappho of Lesbos, about 2,600 years ago. Nearly all of her considerable world-famous body of work perished along the way, but the new bit was discovered on the papyrus wrapping of an Egyptian mummy, along with other work already known to be hers. A translation of its 12 lines by Oxford University professor Martin West was published in the London Times Literary Supplement. Its opening might express the sentiments of anyone who remembers the time of Stonewall and looks at today's Pride marchers. You, for the fragrant bosom muse's lovely gifts, be zealous, girls, and the clear melodious lyre. But my once tender body, old age now has seized, my hair's turned white instead of dark.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 2, 2005, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valanche. When I'm not writing for the Oscars or lounging at Sky Bar with Bette or Whoopi, or Olive's Girl, thank you, I'm listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Please do stay tuned.
Hundreds of thousands of people waving rainbow flags danced in the sun through the streets of Madrid on July 2nd behind a banner that read, "We go forward now for transsexuals." It was Spain's largest ever annual queer pride parade, celebrating this week's parliamentary vote for marriage equality, effective on July 3rd. However, due to the bureaucracy involved, activists don't expect the first marriage to take place for several weeks. And the race is on. Meanwhile, June 28, 2005 will be remembered by Canadian gays and lesbians, the day when their parliament passed groundbreaking legislation to legalize same-gender marriage across the country there. The vote was 158-133. 7 years ago, when same-gender couples in three provinces first sued for the right to marry, nobody ever dreamed that the government would one day give it to them willingly. But a lot has changed in 7 years. 11 courts in 9 provinces and territories have already legalized marriage equality in their respective regions, and public opinion polls now show a majority of Canadians approve. This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching captures the historic moments from three perspectives, with the patrons of a queer bar in downtown Vancouver, British Columbia, a gay activist in conservative Calgary, Alberta, and a leading marriage equality lawyer at the Parliament buildings in Ottawa, Ontario.
3, 2, 1! It sounds like New Year's Eve at Vancouver's Pump Jack Pub. Actually, it's June 28th, and the big screen TV is set to the Canadian Parliament channel. A clock on the screen is counting down the seconds until the House resumes for a vote, and the crowd is counting down with it. Normally, this might seem like a peculiar form of entertainment. But today, Canada's House of Commons is casting the final vote on legislation to legalize same-sex marriage across the country. And 150 members of Vancouver's gay community have packed into the bar to watch the big moment live.
In favor of the motion, will please rise. Monsieur Martel Salamard.
The crowd cheers as Prime Minister Paul Martin stands up to register the first yes vote. One by one, the other members of the House of Commons stand up to register their votes as their names are read out.
Monsieur Lacroix, votre nom.
Ms. McClellan.
Mr. Godet.
Monsieur Dion.
Mr. Scott.
The crowd cheers for the popular local MPs and boos our opponents.
Mr. Hopper.
And then, the result is announced.
Yes pour 158, 158, nays contre 133, 133.
crowd is clearly ecstatic.
I feel fantastic, and I think it's about time that we have the same rights as every other tax-paying citizen here in Canada.
My thoughts are I'm very proud to be a Canadian. Once again, our country is stepping forward to be the most wonderful country you could possibly live in, where all of us are equal under the law.
It's a really significant moment in Canadian. It's really odd. I never thought I would get emotional about this particular vote, but I understand the importance and the significance internationally in the global world that we're living in and what it means to be making these headways in Canadian, in the world that we live in.
Same-sex marriage has already been legal in British Columbia for 2 years. So for the community at the Pump Jack, the vote is really only a symbolic affirmation of a right that BC queers already enjoy. However, for those on the other side of the Rocky Mountains, the story is quite a bit different.
Very last minute, because we didn't know exactly when the vote was coming down, and when we did find out, we had to sort of scramble.
Stephen Locke is an activist based in Calgary, Alberta, one of only two Canadian provinces where same-sex marriage has not already been legalized by court order. The province is conservative, the community is small, but they too had a party to celebrate the bill's passage.
Keith Purdy, who's the other marriage activist in town, and I had talked a few days before, and we're going to get one of the bars to sort of maybe host something. And it was like 2 hours' notice, and they did a wonderful job for us. But we didn't have a really large turnout. We only had about 15 people show up. But lots of applause, lots of hugs, a lot of high fives. Quite happy.
Despite their enthusiasm, same-sex marriage is still a controversial issue in Alberta, and Locke says the vote has not put an end to that.
Alberta is rather a unique region of Canada at the best of times. The premier of Alberta and his conservative government are trying to find ways around this. So some of the options that are being put out there at this point is he's considering perhaps getting out of the marriage business entirely, and therefore everybody, gay and straight, would have to have civil unions. And if you want to be married, you have to go to a church. Well, I don't know if that's really the way to go, because I don't think the majority of Albertans would care for that, and I don't think he's going to end up doing that. But at this stage of the game, that's what he's kind of suggesting they might look at.
Alberta isn't the only province to react negatively to same-sex marriage. In New Brunswick, where same-sex marriage was legalized by court order just days before the House vote, the provincial government has introduced legislation that would allow civil marriage commissioners to refuse to perform same-sex marriages if it's against their religion. Activists there are gravely concerned that the bill makes no provisions for hiring additional commissioners to pick up the slack, and they worry that although marriage may be legal for same-sex couples there, they may not be able to find anyone to marry them. Back in Alberta, there's been social fallout, too. Stephen Locke reports that there have been 2 gay bashing incidents in Edmonton in the past few days that may be linked to backlash against the legislation. However, he also says there's some good news.
Media coverage, by and large, has been pretty good. Public reaction, one of the local TV stations did a sort of a person in the street interview, and everybody said, well, yeah, good. I mean, you know, why shouldn't 2 people who are in love get married? I mean, there wasn't anybody who's going, oh, this is terrible.
She's done the summer's magic. She's done the summer's magic. She's done the summer's magic. The summer's magic. She's done the summer's magic. She's done the summer's magic. She's done the summer's magic. Oh, oh, oh. She's done the summer's magic. She's done the summer's magic. She's done the summer's magic. The summer's magic.
It was so great. And, you know, everybody in my office said to me, oh, you're crazy. You go down there for 5 hours. And, you know, it's $600 or whatever to fly there.
Over in the province of Ontario, the atmosphere is closer to that of BC. Same-sex marriage has already been legal for over 2 years. And one of the people responsible for that is Martha McCarthy.
I was so glad, even though it was so fast, I was so glad to be there to witness it.
She was the lawyer for 8 couples who sued for the right to marry and won. She also represented couples from both Ontario and Quebec at Canada's Supreme Court hearing on same-sex marriage. Though based in Toronto, McCarthy couldn't resist flying to Ottawa so she could be in Parliament in the flesh to witness the historic vote. Little did she know when she entered the government lobby that the MPs were as happy to see her as she was to see them.
I'm sitting there, and Belinda Stronach comes in and, like, walks straight over to me with her hand out. And she comes up to me and says, "Congratulations, Miss McCarthy, what a day," and whatever. And then all kinds of other liberals come in, and they're congratulating Lori, and they know my name, and the Prime Minister shook my hand, whatever.
In the end, not only did McCarthy get to see the vote, she got to take in the landmark occasion as a guest of honor.
After about maybe 10 minutes of this, which is all totally surreal, and the bell is going that it's time to start for them to go into the House, the whip comes up to us and says, "There's some members of our party who aren't comfortable with this and with you being here, so because they perceive this as a celebration when the vote hasn't happened yet." So she said, "But I know you don't have a seat, so I've made a phone call over to the other side and I've made arrangements for you to go to the opposition lobby." And we go over there and we get the same reception. Like, Duceppe gets out of his seat and comes over to me and says, "C'est le moment, Maître McCarthy," and starts shaking my hand. And, I mean, wait, and I know that he was hugging us. And I mean, it was just the most unbelievable thing. You've never been in such close proximity to so many cabinet ministers and politicians in your life. Anyway, it was like this spine-tingling half an hour. And so they started the vote at 8:45. I stood up at the top of the stairs and peeked through some ancient glass door through the yellow curtains and watched it all happening. And so the vote is a success, and everybody starts hugging, and I did a little bit of crying, although I'm quite a crybaby. It was pretty good for me. And then we went downstairs to do the press conference downstairs that Alex Muncher did. I thought it was phenomenal. So, and goodbye, I hugged everybody, and I leave. And then I started walking down the hill, and it's quite dark, by myself down the hill, and I start weeping. I can't stop. And I'm thinking, it's a piece of history. It's the final page in the book, whatever. I mean, we do live in a special place, and really, this kind of a, this moment this week really shows that. And it also shows, you know, what I said to the media over and over again was, the charter worked. It worked. Our purest ideals of what the charter was for have been realized today.
The same-sex marriage legislation will now be considered by Canada's Senate, who have promised to extend their session to ensure its speedy passage. Activists predict the bill should become law by the end of July. For This Way Out, I'm Heather Kitching in Vancouver.
Walk with me through all my days. Sleep with me and know you're safe. Dream with me the whole night long. Wake with me to greet each dawn. Work with me throughout the years. Build with me, we'll build a home. Play with me, you bring me joy. Rest with me and hold me close. Live with me through pain and toil. Laugh with me, unleash my soul. Cry with me, our tears be one. Hold on to me, your pain is mine. Talk with me, keeping life anew. Lay with me, I'm by your side. Dance with me, our steps in time. Sing with me, our songs unsung.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Rex Wattner, Linda Farthing, and Heather Kitching contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle. Peter Donnelly sang Love With Me, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Don't forget, you can listen to This Way Out online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please find out how you can help keep us on the air by visiting our website. We literally can't go on without you. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KUOI Moscow, Idaho, WEFT Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, 7LTN Launceston, Tasmania, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. We're all going to stay tuned.